Our reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Let us pray. God, who was promised by the prophets, Lord, expected by your people, we pray, come to us today. Come to your church, come to your world, come to your people. Come, O Lord, to saints and sinners alike. Gather us together in you. Come, O Lord, with the fire of your Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth. Come and take us to our eternal home. In this sacred season of waiting, in this holy time of Advent, may we learn to welcome your coming and to prepare the world for your presence. We pray to the one who lives and reigns forever and ever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we do celebrate this time of coming, these days of expectation, as the world prepares again to not only remember but to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we heard in this passage that the people were filled with expectation. They were wondering if John was the one who was foretold by the prophets and whose coming the world was awaiting. It wasn't only the people there in John's presence who were expectantly waiting, but those people represented people for centuries and even millennia before that. People who from the very beginning of time heard God's promise that he would save them from sin and that he would send the Messiah. All of the people were waiting. Because God didn't give a timetable, he didn't say when he would liberate his people from evil. He just promised that he would. And now, of course, the people are asking, is John possibly the Christ? The word Christ in Greek means the anointed one. If you say it in Hebrew, it is Messiah. The one who is anointed has a mission from God. The one who is anointed has the mission of bringing people back to God. It's saving them from the power of sin and evil and death. John says he is not the Christ, but that he is the one who will usher him onto the stage of the world. And as the prophets had foretold, when Christ would come, then the lion would lie down with the lamb. Then there would be peace and justice, salvation and life. Then it would be the time of reconciliation with God. All God's people brought together from the many lands in which they had been scattered, finally in unity with God and with one another. And yet we see here, brothers and sisters, another truth, which is critical for us to remember, that the God who comes, the God who gathers his people together in unity, is also the great God of separation. He is a God of division. Listen what John says again here. He says he will clear his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God, from the beginning of time, is the great separator. What do we read in the book of Genesis as Scripture begins? It says, he separated the light from the darkness. And then as Jesus engages his ministry of preaching, he says, do not think, this is in Luke chapter 12, do not think that I have come into the world to bring peace. Rather, I have come for division. And then he speaks about how families would be divided because of his word. He says, a family of five will be divided against each other, three against two, two against three, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. He is the God who, because he brings truth and light, separates the light from the darkness. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, we read the same thing. John says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it might be plainly seen that what he has done is done in God. Truth and falsehood cannot be together. Sin and grace do not mix. Light and darkness have no partnership with one another. And that is why the God who at the beginning of creation separated the light from the darkness will at the very end of time again separate. In Matthew 25 we read, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. God, the great divider, is coming. He is coming with fire, because fire, my friends, also separates what is good from what is bad. When Malachi, the prophet, in his third chapter, talks about the coming of God's messenger who will prepare the way, he then says, the Lord will come to his temple, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. When we welcome the coming of Christ, we decide to stand on one side of the great separation between truth and falsehood and between sin and grace. And that's why, as the people were asking John, who is the Messiah? Where is he? Might you be the Christ? Not only did he say that the Christ was coming with fire and with the Holy Spirit, but the people were asking him, what then should we do? This wasn't just a speculation about when will we see him. They realized that the fact that he was coming required them to change. What should we do? The crowd asked, the tax collectors, the soldiers. And John, you'll notice, gave them very specific instructions. Here's how you have to live. Here's how you change your life. Here's the behavior that befits those who are welcoming the coming Messiah. And so it is with us. If we prepare to welcome Christ again into our lives, into our hearts, and into our world, we have to ask, what then must we do? How must we change? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., on the night before he was assassinated, in a speech in Memphis, said, I want to talk to the preachers for a moment. And God wants a relevant ministry, he said. It's okay to talk about the New Jerusalem in the world to come, but someday God's preacher has to talk about the new Los Angeles and the new Philadelphia and the new New York and the new Memphis, Tennessee. It is in this world that we must begin to see the newness. It's okay, he said, to talk about the land flowing with milk and honey, but we also have to make sure that God's children here on earth have three meals a day to sustain themselves. A relevant ministry. And that's what the church must engage in today, and that's what we, the members of the church, the followers of Christ, the members of his body, must also seek. A gospel that is proclaimed that has relevance, that changes things, that makes a difference. People get tired of preaching when the preaching is just stories and just vague concepts instead of telling them exactly what they have to do differently in their lives so that they can come closer to the God who comes. And so, brothers and sisters, in our day, in our time, the God who comes requires us to choose him. And choosing him means choosing life. What is God's answer to the question, what must we do differently today in our society if we're going to welcome him? And one of the key answers to that question is that we must stop killing our children. The God who comes, this God of life, cannot come when we are neglecting, when we are refusing his grace by killing the children he sends us. To kill children by abortion, to refuse this gift of life, to throw this gift back in God's face, torn up and dismembered, is in fact to say no to his coming. God brings life. He brings us the capability of welcoming and nurturing that life. The Holy Spirit, John said, the Holy Spirit is the one who will come when the Messiah comes. And he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathed on the waters at the very beginning when God separated the light from the darkness and separated the waters and brought about life. That same Holy Spirit is the one who comes upon us. He is our advocate and he makes us advocates. He is the one who brought everything out of nothing and he continues to bring about life in our midst. We therefore are the people who, in welcoming the Lord of life, welcome each and every child. Christmas is not of our own making. We can't make it come. We can only wait. We can only prepare. We can only remove the obstacles to his coming. But ultimately, we stand before our God and we beg him to come. He is the one who does it. We don't create Christmas, but we certainly prepare for it. We welcome it. And we welcome in each and every human life the God of all creation. Come, Lord Jesus, come to your people again and separate that welcoming of life from those powers that destroy it. Separate, O Lord, in our minds and in our hearts, the attitude that welcomes you from the attitude that says, I will decide. I do not need this God. I do not need this burden. Lord, once and for all, separate truth from falsehood and life from death. Free us from the power of death. Free us from that which oppresses human life. Free us from that which would cast us down. And rather, O Lord, lift us up. Lift us up to you, lift us up to the life that never ends. Enable us to love one another. My friends, let us welcome the fire. Let us welcome the fire of his Spirit. Let it purify us and make us the people of life. Come, O Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? a message from Priests for Life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome to our action segment. Today, we want to urge you to make full use of the internet to spread the pro-life message. And Janet, you know, we've talked about that idea for years, but the internet technology is developing so rapidly and providing so many more opportunities now for people to get the pro-life message out into that arena. And of course, one of the ways is YouTube.
That's right.
We have material ourselves on YouTube, don't we?
Yes, we do. Matter of fact, we've been starting to take the women's testimonies from the Silent No More Awareness campaign, mm-hmm. those individual stories, the complete testimonies, and putting them up on YouTube. I mean, it's a major project, but we're getting them up there and we're going to keep doing
it. And for those that are not familiar with YouTube, the concept is very simply now that each person can have his or her own television network over the internet. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And it doesn't require high technology. The simplest home video camera that you might have, you could sit in front of that camera and you representing yourself as an individual or representing your organization can actually post these video clips on the internet through YouTube so that you have a particular place there where then people can go to listen to what you have to say or what your group wants to announce. And it's just amazing. They get thousands, hundreds of thousands of viewers on these various video clips.
Yeah, because what people do is, from what I understand, they go up to YouTube and they just kind of search around. And it's sure. kind of like playing around and looking, oh, let me look at this and let me look at that. And before long, you know, you can really get a great pro-life education out to people because we know the media won't show an abortion. We know the media will not show the women's testimonies on TV. But YouTube is a way where we can really get the word out.
Well, what YouTube and the internet generally are doing really is redefining the word media in the first place. That's now right. The media is ours. We can have our own television network. And it's not just YouTube, it's MySpace. And as the word implies, it's a place on the internet where each person has his or her own space. Come and meet me.
Let me introduce who I am, what I think, what I advocate. And MySpace is a space for you. So an individual who's pro-life, a pro-life group, a ministry, get a place on MySpace, and you start to connect. And it's an online network. You start to connect with people of like mind. You form partnerships. It's a marvelous way. Facebook is another one of these similar concepts. And GodTube, which
is... that's the Christian version of YouTube.
Of YouTube.
Right.
It's powerful. The fact of the matter is that this is an open door. And the pro-life movement has to use these opportunities. I mean, it's not an option. God is giving us this technology to communicate with people in ways we never dreamed of before. And it would be tragic if pro-abortion groups and people started using this more effectively than we do.
And, you know, even if you're watching right now and you say, oh, I'll never put anything up there on YouTube, I says, well, fine, you're not inclined to do that. But at least go up there and see what's up there and encourage other people to go there and become educated about the abortion issue, about the damages being done to women. Listen to the women's stories on YouTube.
I tell you, it could not be simpler to use. And, in fact, if some of our viewers want to start doing this and they need a little bit of guidance how to get started, our staff at Gospel of Life will be happy to help. Just go to our website, gospeloflife.com, and we will assist you to get started.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Janet. And friends, let me mention one more thing. On the topic of end-of-life medical decisions, there's a document you should really have, and it's called A Will to Live. It enables you to appoint somebody to speak for you in case the day comes when you can't speak for yourself, but medical decisions have to be made on your behalf. And the Will to Live, which is a specific document for each of the 50 states, can be downloaded from our website at gospeloflife.com. You can call us for more information. We'll send it to you. This is very, very helpful and important. And please check it out. And finally, as our program concludes today, we thank you for joining us, but we want to show you again what motivates us to do what we do. Why do we have Gospel of Life? Why are we doing all these efforts to end abortion? Because abortion is far more terrible than the word itself conveys. The images you're about to see will make that very clear. Let's watch them together. God bless you.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet Pro-Life Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Teacher. I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself. I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked.
And I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Lay there and listen to the vacuum cleaner suction out my baby. Not only did the baby die, but a part of me died that day also. I started using drugs and alcohol just to try to cover up the pain, because the same people who told me that it was okay, not a big deal, nobody wanted to listen to me afterwards and hear me cry.
The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.